Hello, I'm Warwick Ashford with a roundup of IT News highlights brought to you by Computer Weekly. First, a countdown of the past week's five most popular stories on computerweekly.com. At number five, British Airways makes 450 managers redundant. At number four, Microsoft confirms name of next version of Windows. At number three, Meet Elbot, Leibniz Prize Turing Test contest winner. At number two, chatty robots on the brink of humanity. And in top spot, hacker Gary McKinnon to be extradited to the US within days. And in that story, self-confessed hacker Gary McKinnon's final appeal to be tried in Britain has been turned down, which means he will have to face charges in the US that he was responsible for the greatest military hack in history. A statement from McKinnon's lawyer said the Secretary of State has advised that despite McKinnon's diagnosis with Asperger's syndrome, she will now be making arrangements for his extradition. And now for a look at some of the articles in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine. Carl Flinders writes that CIOs have to juggle two schools of thought in outsourcing that are poles apart. They have to consider whether they simply want to cut costs or use outsourcing in an innovative way to benefit their business. With recession looming, industry observers believe businesses will increasingly shy away from large transformational outsourcing projects and return to outsourcing as a way to reduce fixed costs. Cliff Saron writes that Specsavers has signed a contract with Fujitsu Siemens Computers to support IT in new stores internationally and refresh legacy systems. Cliff, what makes this deal interesting?
I think the contract is interesting because imagine how difficult it is to sign a global deal where you're not sure as a business where you're going to be in a few years' time. Specsavers is a company that's expanding. It's expanding across Europe, it's expanding into Asia Pacific. It needed an IT partner that could understand that it would have to grow into other countries, yet today all of this stuff is being driven out of the UK. So this IT services provider, which is Fujitsu Siemens Computers, needed to be very adaptable, and I think that's what has interested me about this project.
Now, you say in your article this deal gives Specsavers flexible IT procurement. What does that exactly mean, and how will Fujitsu Siemens deliver it?
Well, the first thing is that each country is run quite independently. It's not a top-down architecture hierarchically. So there isn't one standard IT that's just rolled out. That would be too simple. And this is a growing company, and it is expanding into different regions as we speak. It wants to roll out 1,000 extra stores in the next 3 years. So Fujitsu can't determine how that's going to happen because they don't know where Specsavers is going to go next. They've had to create a contract that basically says we will define basic service levels, basic terms and conditions, even sort of approximate pricing, but nothing too specific. And as they roll out to different regions of the world, they then, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's to get that contract signed. It's a very adaptable contract.
Now, is this a new kind of contract? Is this something new that we're seeing in the industry?
I think, well, having spoken to a number of people, it's a contract that it struck me that it was very much like a framework agreement. In fact, it's called a framework agreement, but it's very much like a framework agreement you see in government. It doesn't really define the specifics in too much detail, because if you did, it would be quite close and be hard to adapt. So it's quite an open contract. And I think the challenge, which is what makes it interesting and quite unique, is that you need a very, very close relationship with your supplier to do that. And they meet on a regular basis. Fujitsu meets Specsavers once a week, twice a week. And because also Fujitsu can't guarantee that you'll have the same contact, the same account manager each time you meet, that what they've done is they've got this structure in place that allows that to be as seamless as possible. So there is one global account director at Fujitsu who talks to Specsavers IT team. But, you know, going forward, and this has happened recently, it's adaptable enough that if people change, if people move positions, that contract, you know, carries on, hopefully, without too much disruption.
So obviously there are more benefits from having such a close relationship
with the supplier, but does that not also create the problem of being locked into that supplier? Because if you've got this really close relationship, how do you move on to someone else if you need to or want to?
Well, that's true, but I think Specsavers would say we're not in it to screw the supplier. You know, we're in it because it's a partnership. They like working with Fujitsu, and Fujitsu is the preferred supplier. So they're not there to say, well, we can get a cheaper rate from so-and-so. What they want is to be able to work with Fujitsu, even if the rate isn't as cheap as maybe someone else. They get a good service, a good enough service, because both Fujitsu and Specsavers have a vested interest in that contract, and they both want it to succeed. Fujitsu gets the scalability of a company that's growing globally. Specsavers gets a reliable IT contractor who they know will always be there to provide them with services and is working in their best interest.
Now, it's unlikely that Specsavers' requirements, because of its rapid expansion, are unique. So do you think it's likely that we're to see more of this kind of close, coupled contract that's so flexible?
I think we will, because what is happening as well is obviously, there's the economy is in dire straits. The IT suppliers will want to turn to companies that are expanding and to find a new revenue stream, a guaranteed revenue stream. A growing company is a good bet. An established company, well, you know, you will get a big contract, but it's not going to grow as fast. So I think we will see, particularly with companies that are expanding, they'll be signing the most creative deals with their IT suppliers. And yes, certainly, you know, that's where I think we will see this sort of, you know, very flexible type of contracting.
Also, in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine, Mark Watts writes that companies and government agencies need to take a much more targeted approach to data security to ensure they protect sensitive information. An RSA survey of 417 people who attended a series of international IT and financial conferences found that while 94% of respondents were familiar with their organization's IT security policies, 53% felt that they had to work around them in order to carry out their work. This shows that there's a real tug of war between compliance with policies and other priorities, namely people getting their jobs done. He writes there can be little doubt that there are lessons to be learnt about protecting sensitive data in both the public and private sectors, particularly in light of the fact that after a series of data security breaches at UK government departments, Defence Minister Bob Ainsworth recently had to tell Parliament that a missing computer hard drive might contain details of up to 1.7 million recruits and applicants to the armed services. You can find these articles and more IT-related news in the latest edition of Computer Weekly magazine or online at computerweekly.com.